You might have noticed from the you might have seen from the notice sheet that over the next 5 weeks we are going to be working our way through the Apostles' Creed. We sometimes say the creed on a Sunday. We're going to be saying it at the end of this talk, so get ready for that mind-blowing moment. Why look at the creed? Well, the creeds are something that you confess. They're a confession of faith, and they're often used at baptism and confirmation. So what we thought for our baptism and confirmation candidates and for us as a whole church, we would remind ourselves of what we believe. So next 5 weeks, we're going to go on a journey through the Apostles' Creed. Belief, that's what we're going to be looking at. The Apostles' Creed begins, I believe. The Nicene Creed, we believe. So my question, St. Andrew's, what do you believe? Who do you believe? Where do you put your faith and hope and trust? Maybe you aren't sure what you believe. Maybe it's changed over time with age, with experience, through different circumstances in your life. Maybe you've believed in someone or something and you feel let down or disappointed or even hurt. I think belief can absolutely grow, but it can also be knocked and it can be tested. Maybe you struggle to believe in God, or you've struggled to believe in the church over time. Or maybe you are just discovering or rediscovering belief. Maybe you're at the beginning of a journey, or you've re-entered that journey of belief. Maybe you've attended church for many years and you've never actually considered what it is that the church believes. Maybe you sit here Sunday by Sunday or whenever you come and you basically believe that at the end of this service you're going to get a cup of coffee and a biscuit. Maybe that's what you believe. So my encouragement is that over these next 5 weeks, to be open, to be encouraged, to be challenged in equal measure, because we're going to plumb the depths and the breadth of what we believe. And today, I'm going to kick off with the opening lines of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And today, by way of opening, I want to talk about three things. What creeds are, who God is, and what God is like. Because I think that's what those opening lines tell us. They tell us what creeds are, who God is, and what God is like. But first, before all of that, I have to say, it's a sad day, St. Andrew's. Your vicar is in mourning. Why? Because the best TV show in all of human history has come to an end. After 3 seasons of utter joy, Ted Lasso has finally aired its finale last week. So it seems only right that I hopefully subject you to one final airing of Ted Lasso. Yes, I'm excited. You should be too. If you are invested in the show in any way, this is a little snippet from the finale. So if you want to bury your head in your hands or run out just for a few moments because you've been waiting to watch the finale, I completely understand. There are no massive spoilers in this clip, so please don't worry. I don't know, you've seen me talk about Ted Lasso, and there's one thing, and you've probably already seen it. This little poster is kind of at the center of Ted Lasso and his coaching of the football team, Believe. And he has this poster above his office door in their changing rooms, and they often go up and slap it or touch it, or, you know, or it's become a focal point. But the end of season 2, it got torn down. I'm not going to tell you how or why, because that would spoil it. And then halfway through season 3, it gets torn up even more than that. And it seems like their belief has been shattered. Their belief has been shattered. And so we enter the story at their final match of the season. Everything hangs on this match against West Ham, and they are 2 goals down at half time. You saw the Believe sign come together, and then each and every one of them had kept a little fragment of that poster somewhere special for them. And what we, a little round of applause for Jess for editing on the fly there. What we didn't see was each and every player had a little piece of the Believe poster, and it all came together. I won't tell you what happens at the end. You can watch the show. But actually, I think that is the best image of the opening two lines of the Apostles' Creed and this idea, I believe. Fragments and expressions of belief coming together to form a statement and a foundation to play the beautiful game by. Creeds are a foundational summary of what we believe is true. They are not concluding statements that shut down any sense of questioning or exploring or further growth. We might see or say a creed and feel like it's there looming over us, telling us who is in and who is out. And at best, they are at best to keep us in line and at worst, brainwash us. Church history tells a different story to that assumption. Church history tells us that for the first few centuries, the church developed and grew with no statement of faith. And creeds came together slowly over time through collaboration and through a growing sense of how God was revealing himself in the local church. Just like that Believe poster came together through fragments and expressions of belief that they had carried with them through the season. Creeds came together slowly over time. One of the most famous creeds, the Nicene Creed, was formed at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. But then it was later reaffirmed and adapted at Constantinople in 381 AD. Bishops from the breadth of the Christian community came together to affirm belief. They didn't come together and sit round a table or whatever they sat around in those days and hammer it out in that moment. That's the kind of impression that church history gives us, that they suddenly came up with this creed one afternoon when they were all together at the Council of Nicaea. That's not how it happened. They affirmed, they rubber stamped what the church, the growing sense of what the church believed, as the result of centuries of growing and exploration, centuries of public teaching and practice and questions and debate, and a desire to summarize and put into people's imaginations and hearts the foundation of what it means to believe. That's why creeds came about. The creeds also came together to defend essential things about the Christian faith, such as the divinity and the humanity of Jesus as being of equal importance. Jesus wasn't some spiritual being that somehow looked human. Neither was Jesus a really good human being that was quite a little bit like God. No. The creeds tell us that Jesus is God, and he came to earth as a human being. And if both of those things aren't true, then our faith has no foundation. We see that truth expressed in our reading today that Jean brought us. Creeds are essential foundational summaries that have come together to form one statement of belief that span all traditions, all culture, and all time. They are not the last word designed to confine and restrict us. They are there to help and enable us to keep exploring, to keep growing, and to keep journeying together. That's why it's so beautiful that we say the creed at baptism and confirmation because it's the start of a journey, not the end of a journey. I believe. We believe. What does belief actually mean? Maybe you wonder that right at the beginning of this journey. Maybe you wonder what it means to believe. In our culture, belief is often played out as a culture war. I believe this, but you believe that. And there is sometimes a gulf between those two things. Sometimes, and often sadly, of anger, even hatred. Sometimes confusion or misunderstanding. Sometimes prejudice, hurt, and more. Some of this belief, but not all, is often about a very internalized and private sense of belief. It's a highly individualized sense of what I believe over what you believe. And belief, in some ways, today, I think, sometimes in our modern society, has been reduced to simply a rigidly held opinion. And we often, therefore, go to sources of information that confirm and prop up our opinions. They're called echo chambers, if you've ever heard that phrase. We basically hear back what we say and believe, and it just echoes off culture and confirms the thing that we've already believed. But the Hebrew word, the Hebrew sense of belief that we find in the scriptures, has much less to do with our modern polarizing ideas of belief. And it actually has very little to do with a feeling or an opinion on a matter. Rather, it's connected with the word that we would use at the end of our prayers, Amen, which means let it be. It's much more about trust and relational truth than a sense of an opinion that you or I might hold. And for those who love to shut down others or with their opinions, you might find belief, as it's outlined in the creeds, quite challenging because it's about trust and relational truth. It's not about opinions. Because this kind of belief that we see outlined in the creeds calls us into relationship with God and one another. It calls us into intimacy and into journeying with God together. Paul's letter to the Romans says this about Abraham, that he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that's just a posh word for right relationship. Abraham believed, he put his trust in God, and it enabled him to have deeper relationship with that God. And what's the first thing that Abraham did? What's the first relational expression of that? He left a familiar place that he'd created, and he journeyed to a new place that God was inviting him into. Abraham journeyed into a new landscape, a gift that God was offering to, for him to prosper and to thrive. The new journey and the new place that God led him to enabled his family to grow into a nation that expressed something of the relationship that that family, that nation had to God for others to see. So creeds are not end statements. Belief is not the final word. But belief is a secure foundation with which to explore, ask questions, and to grow. And it's good news. Belief is good news, but it's good news because of who God is. The creed goes on. I believe in God the Father. Now, this isn't a statement of patriarchy, but rather one of parenthood. That's really important to stay. Patriarchy is such a minimalistic and unbiblical way to view God. But I understand that history and maybe some people's experience may make it hard for you to see God as Father. But I want to encourage you to not see God as male, because God is not male, but simply to see that God is a wonderful, loving parent. as best as we are able, we shouldn't impose our individual view of fatherhood, good or bad, onto God. But we should rather allow the story of God's parenthood, ultimately expressed in Jesus, to shape our view of who God is and ultimately what an expression of a parent should be. Scripture shows us God's parental love is like a shepherd who leads us to good pasture. A God who sometimes leads from behind, encouraging us forward. One who is there when we get lost and experience danger, very able to pull us up again and lead us along good paths. That's what Psalm 23 is all about. And Jesus, radically and uniquely for his day, calls God Abba, is the Hebrew word for daddy that expresses intimacy and familiarity. Jesus also tells the story of a father who searches after lost sons, the story of the prodigal sons, and even a father who runs towards that son with arms open wide with welcome and protection. This is the God that we are putting our trust in, the kind of God that searches after us, the kind of God that is always running towards us, the kind of God that is there to care and protect for us. That's the foundation of our belief. So I believe in God the Father. That's who God is. But what is God like? Well, this is what God is like. I believe in God the Father who made heaven and earth. And the Nicene Creed includes the line of all that is seen and unseen. This is a reminder that our world is not just natural, but it is wonderfully created. God is the God of heaven and earth, of all that is natural and of all that is spiritual. And this creation is shot through with fatherly love. John puts it like this. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This is why the creed in its right place should be viewed as a statement loaded with possibility and opportunity. God made everything. He made all that is seen and unseen. And so nothing is ever outside of the love and the embrace and the transforming power of God. Nothing is outside of God's creative potential. Our hearts, souls, mind, our bodies, all within the scope of God's loving creative embrace. Our work, our desires, our gifts, all within the scope of God's loving, creative embrace. And through Jesus, God stepped into creation to redeem, to heal, and to restore all things. And the Creed boldly and compassionately affirms all of life. Not just life that is confined to 90 minutes, if you're lucky, within an uncomfortable wooden pew. No, God is the God of all of our life. The life that we step into as we leave this place. Nothing is outside of his loving embrace. And I want to wrap this intro to the Creed up by sharing a beautiful moment that I experienced this week that I would consider to be something beautifully creedal. On Wednesday, we hosted here at St. Andrew's Deanery Synod. That's like a posh churchy word for a group of people that's made up of clergy and representatives from the congregations in and around Islington. So Fiona and I, we represent St. Andrew's at that meeting. And it's a meeting where we can share vision and ideas between churches. It's an expression of unity here within Islington. And last Wednesday, we had a guest speaker from Choices Islington. And they are a faith-based pregnancy crisis charity who seek to have a compassionate response to the dilemma of unplanned pregnancy and abortion. They provide counselling for pregnant mothers and families. They provide post-abortion counselling, and also they provide counselling to women in prisons. That's some of the work that this charity does. They are faith-based, non-judgmental, and they do not seek to tell people what to do. They simply support and listen. And Sophie, the director, told us anonymized stories and testimonies of people they'd helped who had previously been judged by the church and maybe left alone to walk alone by kind of society and culture. And the charity had sought to draw alongside, to love, to journey with them. And they were supported, but also in a faith-based environment through Choices. And she explained that their vision and their work, she explained their vision and their work to us. She shared some stories, and she also shared some scripture and theology that shape some of their values. It was really kind of humbling and moving to hear how God was at work through their charity. And then she opened the floor to questions. And immediately, straight away, a vicar's hand went up. And the question was asked, and I have to say, the question was asked with genuine compassion and kindness. But the subject fascinated me. They wanted to know whether the charity was pro-choice or pro-life, saying that, and they kind of expanded the question and said this. The vicar said, when you share stories, it sounds like you're pro-choice, but when you talked about the scriptures, it sounded like you were pro-life. Immediately, someone wanted to, maybe unintentionally, I'm not sure, I can't see into people's hearts, immediately someone wanted to put them, this charity, on a polarizing spectrum between pro-choice and pro-life. But her response, I loved it, and it was this. And I think this is incredibly creedal. Right from the start, we didn't want to place ourselves, and this is a paraphrase, this is an exact quote, even though it sounds like an exact quote. Right from the start, we didn't want to place ourselves on that continuum. We simply chose not to do that. And then she quoted someone as saying, if people can't tell where we are on this divisive issue, then we are probably doing something right. She refused for their work as a charity to be boxed in by a divisive, restrictive category that would limit them and limit what they could do. And I thought that was fascinating and incredible. I thought it was amazing. And here's why. And here's why it relates to the creed. They are faith based, unashamedly faith-based as a charity. This is what we believe. You can go to their website and see what they believe. I believe. They are shot through with love for people. We believe in God, the loving parent. And they saw that God was at work in and for all things. We believe in God, the loving parent, who made heaven and earth, who made everything that was seen and unseen. They believed that there was nothing, there is nothing, that is outside of the love and the reach of God. God's loving embrace is higher and wider and longer and deeper than we could ever imagine.